You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason. Do you enjoy hearing lonely idiots talking to each other? You're in luck.
It's Building the Game with Jason.
You ready?
Yeah.
Keep going.
You want to do that?
Let's keep that groove.
I'm
digging this, man. Yeah, change it up.
That's great, man. Oh, this is the best intro ever. It's the best intro to the show ever.
Your sounds were making me uncomfortable. Yeah. So I wasn't sure what to do.
That's great. You should be proud of that. I'm thrilled. I couldn't be happier. You're listening to Building the Game. My name is Rob. That's Jason. This is episode 171. It is Monday, September 7th, 2015. And this is going to be the grooviest episode,
I think so, yeah,
of BTG that ever grooved.
Yeah. Also, you know, I know you say this all the time, like, oh my gosh, this many episodes, but wow, 171, like 29 episodes away from 200.
Yeah. What the heck, man?
I feel like 100 was so not that long ago.
I know. I feel like it just, like, you know, blinked my eyes and we went from 100 to 171.
Yeah. It felt like the first 100 was a long time and the second 100 was just like done.
Yeah,
so
it's crazy. Into it. Yeah, hey, whatever. That's what we do here, man.
I know.
We make content.
Steamroll content.
Generate content. We're content generators.
Good, bad, doesn't matter.
Hey.
Consistent.
We're not. It's the quality is beside the point.
Quantity.
It's all about quantity.
Right.
Yeah.
We actually probably could do better on quantity, too.
You know. Whatever. Every week, that's the commitment we made.
Once a week. And we have kept up with that.
Never failed.
No. And I'd say that we're going to jinx ourselves, but we've said this like four times.
Yeah. So we're past jinxability.
Honestly, at this point, if we ever missed that episode, I'd be like, what are you complaining? It's been like 170 episodes.
Yeah.
Like, really.
Get over it.
Yeah. There was one time when a tree fell through your car and you still managed to get the show published.
Yeah. It was late that evening, but it was still up before midnight on Monday, you know?
It was up.
Or I guess
Sunday,
midnight.
It was still a day early.
It was still a day early, even then. Even when a tree fell down and crushed my car, and I had to chop it up with a chainsaw.
Yeah,
and I was even out of town half of that day, and I came home at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon to a tree, and I still had to chop the tree up with a chainsaw and haul it away, and then I managed to still edit the show.
Yeah,
because
commitment. Because, you know.
Yeah, right. It's what we're about here.
Right.
It's what we're about here.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I have to go.
No, that only happened once during recording when I had to leave because my kid had to go to the hospital. Remember that?
Right, yeah.
We're interviewing poor Brian LaBurge. Like in the first part of his interview, I remember that the thing died like halfway through and we had to start over.
Yep.
And then I had to leave for my kid.
Yeah.
And we were so nervous the third time we recorded with him because we really thought something was going to go bad. But hey, third time was a charm in that case.
It finally worked out. Yeah. Yeah. So what's new with you?
Not much. Not much at all.
Okay.
Just, doing what I do.
Doing what you do. Keeping.
Actually, been making a lot of prototypes lately.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, you have, haven't you?
Because it's time for a con. So instead of focusing on the things I should focus on, I'm making random prototypes because that's what I do.
Yeah. All right. That's the Jason mind.
I have trouble focusing. And about 3 days before the conference, I'm going to lose my mind. And then it was funny. We actually, there was some training for work I was going to attend. And I was talking to Steph, my wife, about when I should take it. And one of the options was the week of Grand Con.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'll be back on Thursday, though. And she said, let's be honest. She's like, you're going to need the week before Grand Con to do anything to get ready for Grand Con because you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know me very well.
Yeah.
And then I scheduled the training for October. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in a difficult boat here because September 15th, I have two big projects, game-related projects that are due.
Right.
So basically, a week from now, next week's episode, we're recording it in advance, but if we were actually recording it that day, I would be a freaking mess.
Right.
You know, a big old ball of stress.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing that we're not recording that day, or recording even a few days before that, because I would be a mess. But what that also means that I have no time to really prepare anything for Grand Con. So I'm basically going to show up with the inexorable March to the Grave and Rogue Scholar because those are the only two prototypes I have already put together.
Yeah.
So, but that's okay.
I'm going to bring like 12 prototypes.
Yeah, because you're a monster.
I'm going to have Gunslinging Ramblers in its newest format, minus all the stuff we stripped out to simplify it.
Good.
I'll have... I just blanked out on the other ones. No.
That's enough.
What else am I going to bring? Oh, I'm going to bring my Cube Grid game, which I'm going to try and get the retheme done before I bring it.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about the retheme?
Yeah, let's do that. So we're talking, and so this is all thanks to Chris from Flip the Table. He gave me an idea that honestly at first I didn't really care for until I thought more about it. I'm just being honest, right? Like,
yeah.
I read it and I was like, he said, what if it's like competing ideas in your brain? And I was like, nah, not for me. And then I thought about it. And I was like, wait, no, for me. This is good, Chris. This is really good. But I still wanted it to be a little less abstract, right? So I thought, what if I was trying to think of, I was thinking about the brain, And one of the things that popped in my head was those horribly inaccurate yet awesome drawings from phrenology back in like the late 1800s, early 1900s, I think.
Yeah.
Where they had those drawings of the brain, and the brain, like I said, it's got like a section for mood and a section for, you know, bad stuff. And I mean, it's horribly wrong. And phrenology, at least from what I saw in Django Unchained, phrenology was incredibly racist and a lie. Well, I know it's not true, but you know what I mean? It was bad, right? Anyway, so for that time, right?
Yeah.
It just kind of captured that interesting thing. In the pictures look really good. So I thought,
yeah, the art style, it's a very unique and specific thing,
right?
And it's awesome. Yeah.
So my thought was, what if you were these two competing ideas, but the two competing ideas, and I was thinking kind of a Lovecraftian thing, like what if one player was madness and the other player was sanity, right? And you each have these competing ideas, and they're different parts of the brain you need to take over to win. So you have goal cards in front of you for that. And the goal cards were actually your idea. And I wasn't sure how I was going to use those. And then once this theme popped in, it was like, oh gosh, those are ideas.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So the idea that, you're trying to go around the brain and take over the different thought centers to win, you know, either drive the person mad or keep your sanity.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
It's a fantastic idea.
And I don't think that I would actually make it like specifically a Lovecraft theme. I would just use madness and sanity, which lends itself towards that. Also, the phrenology, I think, was around that time frame.
Sure.
Those drawings, at least, date to around that time frame. So, anyways, so that's my thought. And then I was talking to Alan about it, our friend Alan from work, and Alan suggested it'd be cool if you could have a cube and a square multiply to take up more space, right? And I was like, that's interesting. How would that work? Well, with the brain game, that's really easy, right? And you and I were talking, and the jokers in the game, which right now don't do anything good, could be like an obsession card, right? So when I play that...
Obsession?
Obsession.
By Calvin Klein. By Jason Slingerland. For men.
Or women. so I've got a quadrant that I'm in, right? I have one cube in the quadrant. I play that joker card, and I take over every other space in that quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful, but I also don't get to move. So it's very centralized powerful. But I could use it to block the opponent, and that's what's so cool about it. Because the teleporting joker cards we had before sucked. The big one. I mean, it was bad. Like, they didn't do anything. We both had one the entire game and never found
never
a
used
to
it,
use it. Which was pretty telling for how bad it was. So I'm pretty excited about that retheme on that.
That's
great. Gonna try and have it ready in time for that. Even if I have to just like draw the brain around it. Just sketch it. I really want a top down view, but all the views I find are sideways. And I may just have to live with that. But I really like the top down view better. I mean, granted, if I was going to do artwork for it, right, I could just have somebody recreate it that way. That would be easy peasy. That would be some pretty easy art to do. And then just work my squares around it. Because the squares obviously don't have to be the same size. The quadrant stone, I mean.
Sure. They can kind of warp.
Because it doesn't matter. You know, as long as you have the same count and the same distance moved, it's the same thing. That said, unless squares are touching in a different way, and then that could affect it for corners.
Yeah.
But that also might be cool, you know. Because you could, if you had like one where a lot of things were touching it, great. Make more goal cards for that one to make it more of a contentious spot when you fight.
Might take some practice and some different layouts to find the optimal approach.
Exactly. So for this, for Grand Con, maybe I'll just keep the board I have now and try it out this way and just see if people enjoy it and if it's worth continuing. So that's that.
That's cool. I think it's a great idea.
I played a game recently.
Well, what'd you play?
Flip City.
Again?
Yeah, three times, actually.
Wow.
So, yeah. My mom was down, and every once in a while, I try and get her to play a game, because she likes games like Roll for It and things like easy, like mm-hmm. you make a decision, you roll some dice.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I think you would like Flip City. And it took a little bit to teach it to her because it's a little more complex.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as she got the hang of it, she was like, let's just keep playing this. Like, she wanted to play again. And I was like, oh, cool. We should stop.
Yeah.
She beat me every time too.
Yeah.
Like by one turn, every uh-huh. game.
Cool.
I would like play out my next turn and be like, yeah. Oh, I was going to win.
Cool. I should really try that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll bring it next time we play games. It mm-hmm. plays pretty quick. Mm-hmm.
I know Christine enjoyed
it. Yeah, it was a good time. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I've just been playing a lot of Sling Tycoon.
You have?
One of the projects that's due on the 15th is my final rules and final balance for Sling Tycoon.
Right.
So I'm playing that as much as I can. I've lost track of the number of times I've played it in the last month.
And your other secret project is due by then as well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The one that you're working on with You-Know-Who?
Yeah.
Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I know which one you're talking about.
Do you, though? No. Yeah. The person you're working with is female.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the one.
Right, that's the
one.
Well,
there's that other secret project you're working on, too.
That's not due. Well, you reminded me that's due later.
It is? How would I didn't even know when that's due.
What project are we talking about now?
The other secret project with the two guys.
Yeah.
Who have the thing and you're doing the stuff for them.
Yeah, that's due later.
Oh, I have no idea when it's due, so okay. I didn't remind you of that. That's why I was confused. Oh.
Well, anyway. Cryptic conversations are cryptic.
Yay. Hey, you know what we should do right now?
What should we do?
We should announce the winner of the Grand Con.
That's
contest.
A beautiful idea.
So this winner's already been notified, because
mm-hmm.
normally we don't do that, but I wanted to notify them because of the timing.
Right.
Because we couldn't get a bonus episode recorded in time and mm-hmm. published, so mm-hmm. we said screw it. So the winner, picked by Brian and Mark.
Oh, wait, should I get my drum roll thing out here? Let's see. Wait.
You know what would be funny?
What would be funny?
If we said a different name, because the winner knows.
Okay, ready?
Should hose them. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Right,
drum roll.
Oh.
That was not drum roll.
That was not drum roll. That was, and I also need to up the volume here. Okay, here we go. Let's try again.
The winner is Nate Darty.
Hey.
Okay. That should be the end of the sound effects for this episode.
Okay.
I promise no one likes them as much as you do.
I haven't used this in weeks.
That's funny. No, anyways, again, we did not choose Nate as the winner.
Yep.
Because pretty much anyone who enters contests like this are friends now, so mm-hmm. so we don't like to judge.
Yep, so winners were chosen by Mark and Brian from Grand Con,
yep.
And Nate tweeted a really funny picture of game boxes half filled with game components and clothes.
And razor and deodorant, all sorts of stuff. Yeah,
toothbrush
I actually
things,
had to look back again, and then I was looking at it today and was like, oh gosh, this is funny. There's even more stuff in there than I thought.
Right, so yeah, that was entertaining. In the game boxes, he had Axis and Allies, and he had Penny Press, and what else did he have?
Cards Against Humanity.
Right, and a couple others.
Water Balloon Washout.
Yeah.
Pandering.
Couldn't fit much in there, though.
No. So
small tuck box. But yeah, so congratulations, Nate. We're excited to see you at Grand Con.
So, yeah. So,
and thanks to everybody who entered. We had a lot of good entries, and Mark and Brian just were happy to see that one. So thanks, everybody, for entering. And I think the Twitter tweety picture thing was fun. So maybe we should try and do something simple like that again in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. So should we move on to our feature of the week?
Yes.
What's our feature for this week, Jason?
This week, we're going to talk about designing for the purpose of marketing.
Wow.
This is something you and I have actually done a little bit of.
A little bit.
So,
a smidgen.
And a lot of people haven't done. So
yeah.
Even experienced game designers won't be able to tell us we're stupid for this one. Mm-hmm. So we picked it.
Right. So the idea here is designing not because we want to make a fun game to sell to people, but we want to make a product or a kind of a promotional item that is more than just a stress ball with a logo on it. You know, something that that serves is kind of dual purpose, you know,
right.
is both a good potential advertisement for a thing as well as being a fun thing to mess around with.
Right.
Yeah. So we've done this twice now.
Yes. Once for work.
Right. And once for the podcast.
Yes.
With the BTG CCG. So let's start, first of all, with talking about the design that we did for our day jobs.
Yeah. So I don't remember. It wasn't one of us. Somebody mm-hmm. else had an idea. And they said, you guys should make a game for our company.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, why would we do that? And then we started talking about it, and then we talked to our marketing guy, and we said, hey, what if we made a game for the company, specifically to walk some customers through a process that can be a little confusing.
Yeah.
And he was all about it.
Yeah. Yeah, so, really excited about it.
So you and I sat down and tried to figure out how to design. So one of the this was kind of our first tutorial in how do we design for how do we design for this in a way that, you know, what are kind of the rules we have to follow? And number one was accessibility.
Yeah.
Has to be so simple
yep.
that anyone can do it. And replayability, not as big of a deal. Accessibility is more important.
Right, right.
Because chances are one of our people is going to sit down with a customer and play this game once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was number one. So we decided on a trick-taking game.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was easy.
Easy and a familiar right. idea to a lot of people.
Especially because we have a lot of our customers are based in Michigan.
Yep.
And trick-taking is something Michigan is very, very big into because of games like Euchre.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing we decided on was, and this was your idea, you said we should force ourselves to use a standard deck of cards
mm-hmm.
for two reasons. One, because everybody knows what a standard deck of cards is. And two, because it's just more marketing, mm-hmm. right? If nothing else, after they play this our special game this one time, they can use this 1,000 more times to play Pinochle or Euchre, whatever they want to play.
If they want to play, and it's got our logo all over it.
The exactly. company logo. Not our logo, the company logo.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. And that was... And so though, accessibility, yes, was absolutely number one priority above all else. Something easy to learn, something that anybody could pick up. And even by using a standard deck of cards, even if they didn't care about playing our game, it still was something that it was known quantity, right? They know what that thing is, right? Yeah. There's no confusion about what you do with a deck of cards.
Right.
And the benefit, another benefit there, of course, is that you can play so many games with a deck of cards and that's great, you know?
Right.
And, you know, it's up to the marketing team to advertise it and try and tie it into, other stuff about the products.
Right.
So,
you know, and we also designed something generic enough that you could place any process that faces a customer on it.
Right.
That had 8 steps. Cause that's what we did. We basically broke it down into 8 steps to where, the 8 steps were, I think, the 2s and 3s.
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea was that the 2s and 3s would tell you what was trump. And then you played a really simple trick taking
mm-hmm.
game.
Mm-hmm.
That was very swingy.
Yeah.
Cause we wanted it to stay tight the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody felt like they had a chance to win. Cause in the end, the winner doesn't really matter.
Sure.
So we didn't want anybody to be like, this game is stupid. I quit paying attention. We want it to be like, hey, this is fun. I'm going to win this game. And then if they don't, you know, it's too late. So they've already learned about the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So also it was a great sales tool for the salespeople. They could pull out the deck cards. They could pull out those 2s and 3s and say, here's the 8-step process for how yep. this product works. And then
here's a deck of cards
and here's a deck of cards and you know, you can take that home with you, whatever. So that was kind of the benefit for the marketing point of view. So,
absolutely.
So in that design, we had to think about we needed to make a game that functioned, but we needed to make sure that it was, in addition to being a playable game, that it was a product that could be used for marketing. That was
right.
Yeah. So I feel like I've said that 3 times now.
Right, but that's important because that's the whole point. That's why we were being asked to do
right.
it.
Right, that was the goal. So,
and
that went well. I'm not sure where actually that project is at in the office right now.
They're trying to decide. They're trying to get some time with the people who face the customers to get that figured out with them.
Okay.
If it doesn't work that way, they're going to use it in a different way, likely.
Okay.
So because worst case, it becomes a deck of cards that they give out.
Sure.
But they're hoping to maybe repurpose it for some other stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
okay. Well, that's good.
What I hound the guy every once in a while.
Yeah.
I see him quite a bit at work, so I hound him and say, hey, what's up with that?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he'll be like, oh, well, I need to work on this, blah, blah, blah. So he is gaga for the idea. He loved it. So, and he's the creative director, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you want.
Right. So that was fun. It was a fun, simple little project, kind of no big deal just to knock that out. And you know, and frankly, anything that I can do to encourage more people to play games, I'm all for.
Exactly.
You know, but then, so let's talk about the BTG CCG.
Okay.
Again, designing for marketing. Right. So we've talked about this idea for years, ever since we just started the show, really trying to come up with
a game,
building the game. And I think finally we decided to do it because we had kind of a similar idea. We had this structure, this basic seven card structure. It was small. It was easy to show to people. It was easy to get into people's hands. It had a lot of opportunity for jokes, for and references to the show,
creating humor,
all that stuff. And even if somebody doesn't necessarily play the game, you know, they can look at it and they can say, oh, hey, that's a funny thing about the show. And they can think positively about our show.
Right.
Right.
And it's something free we're giving them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And because it's small, it means we can give it away for free.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it has that expandability with making extra promo cards, which we can continue to add on to with marketing stuff and with cons in the future.
Yep. And the promos, you know, are a chance for us to do fun things that involve, like, the promos are mostly based on people and that sort of thing. You know, we want to. You know, it helps us interact.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that's, I think that's a marketing tool in itself, right?
Yeah.
Because it's more interaction with your listeners and the builders out there. So,
yep.
And I don't mean that like in a smarmy salesman way. I mean, like, we want more of that interaction too. And that gives us a chance to do that. And also to show appreciation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, it's not something we're trying to use to make money. It's something we're trying to show appreciation with, but also to keep, you know, people involved and keep people engaged in the podcast.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah.
So I think some key things to talk about with designing for marketing are to remember that know your audience, right? Like in the CCG instance, it's a simple game, but it would baffle non-gamers, right? I mean, it would take non-gamers a bit to really understand it.
Yeah. So know who it's going to be marketed to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Think in dual purpose as much as possible. So for our work game, the dual purpose was it's a deck of cards.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it just as a normal marketing tool where people have your company logo on it. You can use it, you know, as the specific thing to teach with, or you can use it as a game to teach with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's three ways you can use that.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the CCG, we've got, it's entertaining, right? Mm-hmm. It's meant to be a game. It's meant to be fun. It's meant to help us interact with listeners of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also meant to show appreciation to them for that, giving them something, you know, free, that they can have and, you know, use. So,
yep. I think the last thing we could really talk about this is think about how that game represents the product that you're advertising.
Yeah, that's important.
You know, so with the thing we did for work, it's a deck of cards, and it's easy for our marketing team to say this. I mean, look at how versatile a deck of cards is. Look at how flexible and how adaptable it is.
Right.
That's how our company is. We can adapt to whatever your needs are. We can find something that's going to work for you. You know, we got everything you need right here in this one package.
Right.
For the CCG, look at how stupid we are. Look at how goofy and ridiculous we are. Look at all these stupid things that really kind of don't make any sense, but somehow it kind of works, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah. So,
and the thing I love about that game is it could be rethemed and be a legit game.
Sure.
Like a legit, like, micro CCG.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right, right, right.
But I love the way it works the way it is. You know, I love the humor. You know, I like... Like, I go out to the Google Doc every once in a while. I'm like, oh, I thought of another promo card. Mm-hmm. And I just throw it out there with a name and then something silly, you know, because I know that you'll be like, oh, yeah, this is dumb. I like this. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So, So designing for marketing, I think there's more opportunities out there for that than people might realize.
And I think one of the benefits of that on the game side is it gets people playing games, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's a silly card trick-taking game that we made for work, I mean, it's still... You're having fun playing a game. You're interacting with people. And I think that's important. You know, I mean, we believe games are very important to life. And so I just think it's a win-win all the way around.
100%.
Anything to avoid?
To avoid.
I mean, other than the opposites of things like not knowing your audience or designing something too complex, but
yeah.
I would say make sure it represents your company in the right way, you know,
your company and your product.
You know, I wouldn't want to, as a company that was a business, not like us, like we give out dice, but as a business, I wouldn't want to give out a dice game. Cause I feel like you're saying, roll the dice with us, right?
Yeah.
Roll the dice and take your chances.
Sure. Sure.
You know, and if you ever, you know, like I would encourage people too, to go, if you work for a corporation, go to someone there who might have some effect on that and say, hey, what do you think about a game? You know, I know Daniel Solis has talked before about being hired to design games for corporate people. And stuff,
oh, really?
You know?
Okay.
So, yeah. And I just think that's cool. Right?
That's great.
It's a neat thing to do.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah.
All right. That's probably enough said about that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Time for you to pitch a game.
I'm going
to
pitch a game.
Please do.
Okay. So I'm going to pitch a game that I haven't played yet, but I did make a prototype of, and we're hopefully going to play later this week. So maybe even tomorrow, actually. So the game, there was a way I thought of this. I've been thinking a lot about microgames lately because it's just something I have the mind to design for right now. Anything big has just kind of been boring me, and I like the smaller stuff right now. So this worked out to be a 15-card game. It could be 15 and a rules card, which would literally be 16 cards, and you're done, which is pretty sweet. So the idea of the game is you are kids in the 1950s, right? 50s, 60s, somewhere in there, I don't know, whatever. And you went to your summer camp, right? So you're from not all around the country, but all around, say, the Midwest or so. So you're from hundreds of miles away. Mm-hmm. So you all go to summer camp, and you guys have the sci-fi magazine, and some of the sci-fi magazines back then, you could buy the really crappy stuff out of the back, right? Like X-ray specs.
Oh yeah, dude. I used to get Boy's Life when I was a kid, and
exactly.
How many things did I order from the back of that? It was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Right.
So
yeah,
I think anyone over the age of probably 26 probably knows what we're talking about. Yeah.
So I just thought it would be really neat to have a game where kids are trying to do that. Right. So the idea is the kids go there and they talk about how this magazine is just notorious for having really cool stuff, but mm-hmm. getting it wrong when they send it to you and mm-hmm. sending it to you in parts, like in separate packages, and mm-hmm. then sending you the wrong parts, and you're just kind of hosed, right? Because you mm-hmm. only have so much money to buy these parts, sure. right? So they make a plan, and the plan is they're all going to order 3 parts because that's enough to make something, right? And then what they're going to do is when they get their parts, any part they don't need, one part they don't need each time, they'll send it to someone else. Mm-hmm. And when you get a part, you're going to take what you need and then send something to somebody else. And that's just how you're going to do it. Now, the problem is these kids can't communicate other than that. This is the 1950s, right? Mm-hmm. I guess they could write a letter, but that's lame. So who does that?
Right.
But calling each other was just kind of hard. It was a little harder back then.
Sure.
So, and their parents wouldn't let them. So they have to just mail these packages to each other. Apparently they can just go to the post office willy-nilly. That was really cheap back then. They ride their bike in town, whatever.
Yeah, 5-cent stamps and all that crap.
Exactly, yeah. Right? So, and these are little small things. So the idea is these kids are trying to put together, it's a co-op game, and the mm-hmm. kids are trying to put together 4 different toys during the game. Now there's 5 toys in the game. The 5 toys are grow your own alien.
Ooh.
You know, you used to get like the weird things that you could grow, like seahorses or something, or mm-hmm. anemones, I don't know, but anyway,
sea monkeys,
that's what it was. Yeah. Sea monkeys, which those were like, that was just like, they didn't...
brine shrimp.
Oh, so it was real deep, like they actually were, came to life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I never ordered them, so now I kind of want to right now.
Sure. Well, they also had those like pellets that were like compressed foam inside a water soluble pellet, and you drop it in water and the pellet casing would dissolve, and then
it would turn into something.
It would like unfold and be a shape of like a dinosaur sponge or something.
That's pretty awesome.
Those are neat too.
Kind of want those too.
Yeah.
Anyways, so you've got that. You've got X-ray specs, because mm-hmm. why not? A ray gun, a spaceship, and I always forget the last one. A robot, right? All things that were popular in the 50s, right? Yeah. So you've got those things. And what's going to happen on your turn is first player is going to go. And the first player is going to send a package to someone else, right?
So set up. I mean,
Sorry. Actually, I just thought of something interesting in the setup that's weird. Huh. Okay. Well, let's talk through it and see. I haven't played this game yet. So, mm-hmm. But something just occurred to me that could be a problem. So that's awesome.
All right. I'm excited about this problem.
So the idea is each person's going to get dealt 3 cards face down, right? Oh, sorry. The initial setup, you're going to separate into piles each mm-hmm. toy, right? Into like piles.
Okay.
So all of the spaceship is together, blah, blah, blah. Then you're going to somehow look away and move the piles around so you forget which piles are which, okay? And you're going to take one of the piles and you're going to take 2 cards off the top and set it to the side, and then push all the rest of the cards together, shuffle them, and deal them out to everybody. So what that means is there's one toy in there where only one piece is there, right? The problem is you can't talk to each other to tell each other what piece that is, right? So you're going to be passing that piece around sometimes, not wanting it. But no one, like, somebody might be trying to collect that piece, and guess what? They can't because...
So you've got 5 toys.
But only 4 are viable during the game.
And Each toy has three parts.
Mm-hmm.
At the start of the game, you're going to mix all those up. You're going to discard one card?
Two cards.
Two cards, and they have to be two cards from the same toy.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, that's why you set the toys in separate piles, and you kind of shuffle the piles around so you can't tell. Like, okay. Maybe one puts...
You don't shuffle the individual piles. You move the piles around and try and forget what,
like,
what's
really,
what.
I guess what you could do is player one lays all the piles out in like piles, looks away.
Yeah.
Player two grabs off the top of one pile and then shoves them all together.
Okay.
Now player one has no idea what happened, and player two didn't know what the cards were. So,
okay.
Bazinga, you all win.
Right. Sure.
Okay, so that's what happens. Everybody gets three cards... And then the one card goes to the center, okay? So on your turn, and this is how it's set up right now, and this might be bad, actually, because what I was thinking was the first player doesn't have an extra card. So the first player only starts with three cards. So as a player one, I'm going to send a package to someone, which means I take one of my cards that I don't want, and I send it to you, right? Mm-hmm. Or any other player. When I send it to that player can look at all of their cards, including this one, but they have to keep the card I gave them this turn. They do not have a choice, right? And then they have to send out another one instead. Which shouldn't be a problem, because if you have two of something, you always have a third card to get rid of. And once you get the third piece, you automatically are going to reveal that you've made your toy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, so the catch is, so when I send something to you, now it's your turn when you get a package. And your options are to send a toy on, right? Like to send a package on. Well, if you have four, you have to mail a package off, right?
Okay.
So you can mail a package to someone else. The math actually works really well on this now that I think about it. Or you can, that's what you do. Sorry. So you do that, right? On your turn, if it's your turn and you have only two cards and someone sends you a card now on your turn, because that's what makes it your turn. Now you have three.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to keep that card. But then on your turn, you can choose to either mail a card to someone, or you can send one of your packages back to the magazine and ask them to send you something else. And that's the one card in the center.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is they're just going to send you another random package because the magazine really sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what you're trying to do in the game. Now, you could do that infinitely and always win, but that's no fun. I want to make a timing mechanism out of it. So the timing mechanism is pretty simple. You've got two extra cards, right? So those two extra cards that were discarded for the toys are going to be sitting face down, right?
Okay.
And I stole a little Cathala action here from a really old Bruno Cathala game, because him and I are BFFs now. We're friends on Facebook, by the way. So,
yeah.
Like, we're friends. I made it, right? Like, that. I win, so.
Yeah, okay. Moving on.
So, every time someone sends a package, you've got these two extra cards sitting outside, face up. Every time, face down, sorry. Every time somebody sends a package, you turn it. Turn it again. Turn it again. When it hits that fourth time, you either have to lock, somebody has to volunteer to lock in a card.
Mm-hmm.
So that means they turn that card upside down and they're stuck with that card. They can no longer mail that card to anyone. Or that card's going to get that card that's been spinning is going to get thrown away. And now you move on to the next card. That card goes away, game over, you lose.
Okay.
So you have eight turns unless you start locking stuff in.
So that means every player only has two turns.
But as long as you're locking stuff in, it won't matter, right?
Oh, okay.
And turns don't go in an order. Turns are whoever gets a package sent to them.
Oh, I see.
Now, if somebody ever just trades with the center, next player on your left goes next. But normally, I could send packages to you the whole time. So maybe your strategy is... Everyone send packages to Rob because we want to get Rob to where he feels comfortable with something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to help you out a little bit, because this game is going to be really hard. Like, that's my plan, is I want the game to be hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to solve some of the issues you have with Hanabi. Like, with Hanabi, where you're like, why would you not just always cheat at Hanabi? That's what you said. So this is a lot harder to cheat because you can't talk about what you're doing. Oh, yeah. So if I lock a card and later I'm like, I realize that you and I have locked the same card, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we both locked a piece of the spaceship. Well, crud, right? You can burn one of these cards off to the side to unlock a card. But you can only do that once. Otherwise, the game ends, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, when the first person completes their toy, they flip it over. Now, effectively, they're out of the game. as in to say they're not sending packages back and forth anymore because they've won. They've gotten their toy.
Right.
But that toy is going to let them do something once to help the team out. The X-ray specs are going to let you look at the card in the center and show it to everyone. So everyone sees what card's in the center. So if somebody's like, I need that card, they know what to do. The spaceship sucks because the spaceship doesn't have a special ability. It just says this must be the last toy put together. Mm-hmm. So you never want to save the spaceship, basically, right? Because you're going to get hosed.
Right.
And then the alien lets everyone show a card. When the alien comes out, everyone can show one card to everybody and then put it back down.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of get an idea of what other people have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what the other ones do, but they all do little things that help you in the game. Oh, one of them lets you get, one of them lets you do a free unlock. So you can unlock one of your cards for free without having to take a penalty. And then one of them, I think, allows you to bring back one of the cards you've lost.
Okay.
So really simple, but I think the strategy could be really awesome because you'd start doing those things like, okay, I need to remember where this card came from. So I'm going to, if it comes from Rob, it's going to be in the first slot. If it comes from this person, it's going to be in this slot because you want to know, right, where those things are coming from. So like Rob sent me a piece of the spaceship. I should not send spaceships to Rob because Rob doesn't care about spaceships.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you want to remember where you're sending stuff. 'Cause you're like, I might as well keep sending Rob parts for the same thing if I can, because he has to keep what I send him when I first send it to him. You can't discard it on the same turn. So what do you think about that?
It sounds interesting. It's one of those things I think we got to see in action, but it feels like you've thought through most of the options here. It does suck that one player is always going to be, that whoever goes first is always going to have two cards.
Not always. Because as soon as it gets back to them again, they could swap with a card in the center on their turn, and now somebody else is down to two cards.
Well, but they're still going to swap.
They swap. So like, okay, so I start, say I'm first, right?
Uh-huh.
I send a card to you. Now you have four cards. I have two cards, right? Mm-hmm. Follow? You send a card to Steve. Now, Steve has four cards. You have three cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
Steve sends a card back to me. Now, Steve has three cards, and so do I. On my next turn, with my three cards, I could once again send a card off to you, or I could trade a card with the center, right? And by trading a card with the center, I'm still at three, and now Steve on the left goes next.
Oh, okay.
He's going to get short. Yeah, somebody's always going to get hosed at some point with three cards.
Somebody's going to get short, and then they need that card in the middle to be the third,
exactly,
their third part.
But you can use that to trade that card with people, right? Is the idea.
Okay. Okay.
And maybe there won't be enough information at all to win the game. And if that's the case, that card in the center, I could see being face up, right?
Yeah.
So that's your way of communicating with each other. I put the card in the center face up.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the magazine is saying, hey, we'll send this one piece to someone if somebody needs it.
Mm-hmm.
So that maybe that would be the way to try it. We'll try it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you and I will just each play two players. Because I don't know how this works for two players. I right now only know how it works for four.
Right, right.
So we'll just have to be honest and play with two as four.
Yeah.
And then Thursday we're going to meet with Alan, so we can try it again, and I can make any tweaks with that, and then I'll just play two players and let you guys each play one, and then, you know, so I think that'll be, I think it's worth a try, you know?
Sure.
Ooh, unless Christine comes, and then we could play four.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, so that's the game. I'm pretty happy with the idea of the game.
It's a good idea. It would be cool to, I mean, art for that game would be cool because it could look like all those old illustrations from the back of magazines. Yeah.
And I pictured so the X-ray specs would be like the front of the glasses, the sides of the glasses, and then the lenses, right? Mm-hmm. So those are the three pieces that you're seeing.
Sure, sure, yeah. You know?
Or maybe it's just one big picture and then you cut it. Right? So that's actually probably even better. Like that's so easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to assemble
the whole
right?
thing.
So
yeah,
you basically pay for five pieces of artwork for the whole game.
Right.
And the back of the cards.
Yeah.
Done. Which I think would be the cover of the magazine or a package. One of the two.
Yeah. Right.
So.
Right.
And then a rules card. Because the rules are simple enough that I think you can communicate them on two sides of a playing card.
Probably.
I mean, like once again, I look at Pretense sitting here and he has a book of rules for that. But he also has a reference cards, and look how much text is on that card.
Oh yeah,
card.
Sure,
And that's with a big frame he's got around it. So
yeah. Okay. Well, cool, man. Let's try it.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I don't have a name for it yet, so
well, that'll come.
So yeah.
If it works, you can focus on that.
Right. So anyways, I thought that would be a fun game to be able to try at Grand Con, because we'll have enough people to where, you know, we'll have some, like, Loomis will be there, and I love making him play games like that because I like to watch him destroy them with his brain.
Yeah. Cool.
So
it's good.
All right.
All right. Well, that's going to do her, hey?
That is.
All right.
We got a voicemail. We're going to play it next time.
Okay,
so,
cool. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. We appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at podcastbtg. Jason is at J.A. Slingerland. I am at poorly_design. You can like us on Facebook. You can give us a 5-star review on iTunes and on Stitcher. Don't forget we're on there. Go to our website, buildinggamepodcast.com, where you can find links to the Game Crafter. We can get your own copy of the Rumblebum Academy for Bug-Based Baking and Finish It, the outrageous storytelling party game. And also through our website, you can get your own copy of Water Balloon Washout.
Buy those copies.
Buy as many as you can. Buy 7, buy 10, buy 30.
If you want to buy like more than one copy, you send me a message and we'll work something out.
Hey, there you go.
Maybe we should do a holiday special through here sometime.
Yeah, sure. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Yeah. And call our Google Voice number, which is 770-TEL-BTG. And we'll talk to you guys again. Hey, guys and girls, I hope.
Yes.
Next week.
Yeah. Let's get some girl voicemails up here. What's with that?
Yeah. Yeah,
come
seriously.
On, girls.
Yeah.
I know there are girls that listen to this show.
Yeah. Let's do this.
Leave a voicemail.
Let's do this.
We need to hear a non-male voice this time.
Yeah. Come on.
And I don't want to hear one of you guys pretending to be a girl.
Actually, I think it might be funny, but
okay.
In addition,
we'd also like girls to call.
Yeah. So, all right. Good night.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Yeah. Oh. I'm digging this, man. Yeah, change it up.